Guru Maharaj, I'm just wondering about Shrutakirti. The only Shrutakirti I know, we all know him, Shrutakirti Prabhu or Shrutakirti Das. But Shrutakirti in the Ramayana is a female personality. So how come Prabhupada called Shrutakirti?
Yeah, Shrutakirti is also one of the sons of Krishna. So this is both female, masculine and feminine. This name is both masculine and feminine. Kirti is actually feminine. But Shrutakirti, anyway. Yes, Mother.
Is there any explanation of who Taraka is, or who, like, what is Taraka's actual position, and, you know, and after being killed by Ram, you know, where did she go?
Is there any
more explanation of who Taraka is? Like, does she appear in other pastimes, or what happens after when she's killed by Ram? Since he's the Supreme Lord, was, you know, did she go back?
Which one?
Taraka.
Oh, Taraka.
Yeah.
Yeah, they appeared. I mean, most of them actually did appear in Krishna's pastimes in some way. But I don't remember who is Taraka, how she appeared.
Thank you.
I'm sorry about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yes, Santosh.
Maharaj, this is the first time I heard about that incident you talked about, Valmiki and Narada, that Ram and Marah. But I heard this in many ISKCON lectures also, they've been pointing. So I was wondering, is there any process of communicating to the all ISKCON center? Because this has been quoted several times in many lectures.
I think we have to put it in the free forum.
Yes.
Yeah, I can do that, getting the quotation from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, like how he actually refuted that point.
Right. That'll be very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. You know, let him. He has his hands first.
Maharaj, I have some questions. First one is, since Mataji also asked, I was also thinking, the first demon which Lord Ram killed was a woman, and first demon which Lord Krishna killed was a woman, and that was Putna. So is there any link between them?
I don't know.
And why is that, both times Lord kills a woman first, then
demons? Yeah, that question actually did come up, or does come up. Maybe that is the pastimes of the Lord. And he laments that I have to kill a woman. That's why he closed his eyes when he was killing Putana. That first one he's killing is a woman. Yes, Sachin. Take the mic.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. We've been instructed by Srila Prabhupada, and also you mentioned about the Valmiki Ramayana as the authentic source of the Ram Leela. What is especially Ramcharitramanas by Tulsidas is extremely popular, and sometimes we hear slokas and recitations. Is it okay to hear it? That's my question.
Well, Prabhupada often, or rather many times, Prabhupada glorified Tulsidas. I mean, After all, there is no doubt that he is a great devotee of Ramchandra. But at the same time, Siddhanta-wise, because they are from Ramanandi Sampradaya, which is a branch of Sri Sampradaya, Ramanandis. Like, the Siddhanta is not often to the point, to the mark. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually pointed that, when you read that, you don't find any apparent contradiction in the Siddhantas. But since our acharyas have made that point, we generally don't delve into Tulsidas' Ramayana. Safe is to stick to Valmiki Ramayana. And of course, the next point is, personally I don't know, I didn't read Tulsidas' Ramayana. So I don't know what are the discrepancies there. And it is also safer to stick to the literatures that are from the Sampradaya or approved by the Sampradaya Acharyas. Prabhupada did not ask us to read Tulsidas' Ramayana. Therefore, we don't read Tulsidas' Ramayana. Doesn't matter how popular it may be in India. And no doubt, he is a great poet. I mean, it's a beautiful poet. Amazing poet, actually. And at the same time, he's a devotee of Ram. And he's not an impersonalist. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I had the questions from today morning class.
Question from?
Today morning's class.
Yeah.
I have two questions. The first question is, like, you are explaining that how material nature is actually...
Hold the mic close to you.
Material nature is actually correcting us and in one way bringing us closer to Krishna. But on the other side, we also read that material nature has like the covering and throwing potency and it takes us away from Krishna. So it's like two contradictions. It's like one way she is bringing us closer.
Very good point. That is the Mahamaya aspect of the nature. Like in this respect, an analogy can be considered a policeman. You can say that a policeman arrests people, a policeman beats people up. That is the business of a policeman. But who does the policeman arrest and beat? The criminals. But for a peace-loving person, the policeman is not seen in that light. Rather, for a peace-loving person, the policeman is a source of assurance. Right, and safety. So those who are non-devotees, those who have rejected Krishna, for them she displays these two qualities, avaranatmika and bhikshapatmika, shakti. But those who have taken shelter of Krishna, to them her approach is different. Like the same policeman who actually arrests the criminals and punishes them, when you want to see the king, the same policeman escorts you. Right? So that is how she deals with the Jogamaya. So to the devotee, this Maya is Jogamaya. To a non-devotee, she is Mahamaya. As Mahamaya, she displays these two qualities. Throwing out potency and covering potency.
So Guru, like also the point that as we progress in devotional service, then Maya is like gives us more hurdles because she wants to test how serious we are. So that is again Mahamaya's job?
Yes, she may be Mahamaya, but she is preparing us for Krishna. She is saying that, look, in order to go to a spiritual sky, you have to be free from all these influences. And she puts us into that temptation through some temptation. But what does a devotee do? Does a devotee become victimized by the temptations? Does he fall prey to the temptations? Or he overcomes the temptations? And by overcoming the temptations, he actually becomes more qualified to approach Krishna. So for a devotee, the temptations come, but they don't become victimized by the temptation.
Thank you so much, Guru.
Hare Krishna.
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Guru, the bhajan what we sang in that the last line is Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying that I'm the lowest among mankind. And what is he praying for? Like, it's in the translation it says that please make me the worthiest. Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Which song is that?
Today's bhajan, Guru Maharaj. Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
No, he's not saying Ami to Adham. Yeah, I'm fallen.
And then in the translation it says, oh please make me the worthiest. By teaching me.
I am fallen, but please make me the worthiest. Uttam, make me.
Worthiest in what sense? Because we.
Actually, it's not my translation. Weeping, I am certainly the lowest of men. Oh, please make me the worthiest, meaning the most qualified. Please make me qualified. Not Uttam doesn't mean worthiest, it is not superlative. It is. Uttam, make me qualified. You can say, make me elevated.
So, elevated in the spiritual
platform. Spiritual platform. Also. Make me, elevate me to the spiritual platform.
Thank you so
make
much.
Make me qualified.
Thank you.
Shyamal?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, initially you were mentioning about like Lord generally has two potencies, like Krishna is Rukmani and Satyabhama. But in Jagannath temple we see like Lord had Lakshmi ji and Saraswati with him.
So not Saraswati.
In Jagannath Ashtakam we have the line like who is the pleasure for Lakshmi and Saraswati, and in some Jagannath photos also we see one side Lakshmi ji, one side Saraswati ji. But on the same hand we also hear Saraswati is the consort of Lord Brahma. So I was asking about this conflict.
Okay, then. You see, in the spiritual sky, Saraswati is the eternal consort of Krishna. So in that sense, Saraswati can be considered. Saraswati is also an eternal consort of the Lord in the spiritual sky, in Golok. Just as Jamuna, just as Ganga, they are the eternal consorts of the Lord. Where did you get that? In Jagannath Ashtakam? Okay. Yeah. Yes. Give her the mic.
Maharaj, forgive me.
Take the mic close to
you. Forgive me about this, talking about Ramayana. So, Tulsi Ramayana is Maharaj, a direct vision of Shiva's bhakti for Lord Ram. And he told Tulsidas ji, he told him that I cannot write. When Shiva and Parvati, Shiva asked him to write Ramayana. So then Ram Bhagwan, Tulsidasji said, if you appear in each line and tell me what to write, I will write exactly what I see that you saw. So that's how Tulsi Ramayana is called a devotion of Lord Shiva. And Valmiki Ramayana was a vision of Valmiki's 1,000 years before Ram appears.
Yeah, maybe, but so, we don't delve into Tulsi Ramayana. Our acharyas.
That I only recognized today first.
Our acharyas. As I said, I haven't read Tulsi Ramayana myself, so it's very difficult for me to make the comment.
Yes.
But because Prabhupada did not really prescribe that, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur at some point did say that Tulsidas Ramayana, Siddhanta wise, is not correct.
Okay.
So that's why we just don't get into that.
And Maharaj, another thing about the Saraswati, it is Saraswati, Ganga and Lakshmi, all these were Lord Krishna's
eternal consorts.
Then he told them, because of Radharani, could not accept that. I read in a Puran that. So they left, he ordered them to leave. And that's how.
Anyway, that's another thing. Yeah, Sachin.
In conjunction with what you said, I was just thinking of that particular line, Vagishya Yasya Vadane, Lakshmi Yasya Chavakshasi, Narsingadev's.
Yeah, that is Nrisingadev.
Right, so she is an eternal consort.
On the mouth is
Saraswati.
But he is talking about Jagannath.
Yeah.
You say on Jagannath, Jagannath Ashtakam is describing that on the left hand side is Lakshmi and on the right hand side is Saraswati.
I'm trying to think where in Jagannath Ashtakam.
I was also trying to think of it. Anyway, we can check it. Fourth verse.
Hi, Krishna. You mentioned this morning that Vasishtha Muni gave Lord Ram some benedictions, but he already had the benedictions because he was the Supreme Lord. They were called Bala and Atibala. And I was just wondering that these sages give these benedictions, that this, the benediction was to feel no fatigue, no old age, and be very wise. So how would the people get out of the cycle of birth and death if they had the sages giving them all these benedictions to live so long? Is that a good question?
No, I couldn't get your question. What's the question?
Okay. That these sages...
So anyway, I understood the sages, gave him Bala and Atibala.
But the Vasishtha Muni, he had many disciples.
Vishwamitra.
Vishwamitra. And he was able to give these benedictions that to not have old age, to not feel fatigue, and to be very wise. So how would these disciples or people get out of the material world and free from the cycle of birth and death if they had all these blessings and benedictions?
Does Lord Ramchandra ever look old?
No, but I mean, like, is that why people would live so long?
Sometimes people do live for a very long time. Especially in the other ages when people... You see, more pure they are, longer is the duration of life. Therefore, in Satya Yuga, they used to live for 100,000 years. Because they were so pure. And in Kali Yuga, because people have become so sinful, the general mass of population have the duration of life at the most 100 years. And that also is reduced. As one becomes, 100 is the general standard, right? Like one will live for 100 years. And as they commit sinful activities, it begins to reduce. And then when it comes, like say one has finished up 40 years, and as he reaches 60, 40 years already gone, at the age of 60 he dies. But those who are not sinful, they live a long life. But then again, it's not a consideration of, for a devotee, it's not a consideration of sin or piety. For a devotee, it's a matter of when Krishna wants him to, for how long Krishna wants him to stay here, and when Krishna wants to go away. So that's why we see that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur died. He didn't live for very long, actually. And like that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur lived for 36 and about 60 years. 60s or 62 years. Prabhupada also lived for 82 years. Yeah.
Can I ask another question?
And main point is, what's the point in living here for so long?
But like Sukracharya, he gave the benediction that his disciple, he brought him back to life. And Bali Maharaj is living for a very long time. So how does the cycle of birth and death stop when there's all these benedictions? So how do some people get out of the material world when they're blessed so much to stay?
Is it very nice to live for a long time? For instance, Markandeya Rishi had the benediction for living for a long, long time. And in the meantime, the pralaya took place, the annihilation. The whole planet, whole universe was inundated with water. And because he couldn't die, he was tossing and turning in the waves of the water of inundation. And he was suffering. So what's the point in having such long life when the condition is suffering? So better just leave it up. Our business is to leave it up to Krishna so that as long as we are here, we can render devotional service. And whenever Krishna wants us to go, let's go. Okay, so it's past 1 o'clock, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur.
A few announcements.